When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You are here for Mother Folklore. We are going to cue this up. Can you please hit the intro music? It's catchy, isn't it? From Headstuff Studios in Dublin and live at the Button Factory, Falchuk on Mother Folklore, a podcast about words, Irish words, and words from Ireland. I'm Padraig O'Quivonig. Will you please join me in welcoming our panel for this evening? She is the most Kerry thing since Michael Healy Ray's hat. Put your hands together for Emer Duffy! The best thing to come out of County Leash since Fionn McCool, our legal eagle, our feminine of fucking spur, Geraldine McAvoy! And Lisa Cohen described him as Ireland's favourite public intellectual. Fintan O'Toole described him as... who? Fresh from the Kosamui Cup 2019, Zaga boys all over the place, absolute carnage, Derek O'Shea!
No, this is weird. We'll stick together.
No one wants to sit near Derek.
Yeah. Oh, it's like Zaga all over again.
These two empty seats represent the treatment of the Irish language by the state.
It's for our fallen homies that are still in Thailand creating absolute carnage.
Is that where they are?
They are, yeah. Definitely, yeah.
You should unclip the mic. Just hold
it.
Yeah, sure, look it.
I can't do it, Todd. Help.
I got it.
You gotta loop it around, and then yeah.
This is all getting cut from the podcast.
Every single second. It's all gone.
That's it. Welcome to 3 minutes of trying to get the mics.
This is how we normally start. You guys don't hear it. Our producer's brilliant.
Weren't the Irish passport only mighty?
Yeah, it was great. Yeah, I hope you're ready for an anticlimax, because that's why we're here.
What are we talking about?
We're going to talk about binging on television.
Like, we're going to talk smack, but thank you everyone for coming, by the way. I mean, it's great to see everyone. My mom is in the crowd, but I'm not going to identify her.
She will be the one.
You will notice when I accidentally say fuck, she will be the one that'll go, well, she didn't get that from me, she got that from her father. No, it wasn't for me now. So.
Accidentally?
Yeah. We're going to tell her accidentally. She doesn't listen to the podcast.
Oh, okay, fine.
She doesn't listen to the podcast, so she doesn't know what I'm like.
So, as Derek said, we're going to talk about binging on TV shows today.
Specifically, we're going to talk about the fact that, you know, as we all know, Hollywood has run out of ideas.
Yes.
It's terrible, but, you know, it just happens, you know, when you kind of run things like that. William Goldman, the author of The Princess Bride and Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid, referred to a concept called development hell, when a really good film idea had been greenlit for production, but then that associate producer was fired for another failure in a different film, so the really good film is parked. And the person who replaced that guy in the studio said, well, if I produce this film, the old guy will get all the credit. If it goes well, the old guy get all the credit. If it goes badly, I'll get all the blame. I'm not going to do it. So lots of good ideas are just congested in development hell for ages. And it's an inefficient and horrible system. But
Plus, it's just easier to do a fucking remake.
Yeah. It's easier to do a remake. Easy. And you know what? They have these things called comic books now.
Yeah.
But yeah. But if... I'm just thinking, because now that Succession is on temporary hiatus and that Game of Thrones is finished, there's an appetite.
They stopped making Shrek.
And they stopped making the Shrek films.
They're going to remake Shrek. In a remake Shrek 1.
Do you think you could remake Shrek 1?
Absolutely.
They remade The Lion King. They're going to fucking remake Shrek. Like, it's going to be awful. They're going to do a live, like they did with Sonic, and it's going to be weird with the teeth. Like, that's what they're going to do.
Yeah, what was the fucking deal with that Sonic thing? Sorry, that was so weird.
Like, the new one's cute. Like,
yeah.
But, like, the other one, nightmares. Like, fuck no.
Is what you see at the end of your
bed. It's like, one was Grogno, one was a Grand Yoke.
Aww. Segue. That's a great segue. Back to content.
That's where we're setting the bar for jokes tonight.
Yeah, look.
It's that low.
Look, if he's liked sophisticated jokes...
He shouldn't be here. Like,
maybe
we'll give you your money back.
Maybe a podcast at the Irish language.
No, we're not giving them the money back. You guys are here now. We have it now.
That was a gesture.
There are no refunds. Lock the doors.
So what I was thinking anyway was that for those producers looking for new ideas for, you know, stories that we can really get our teeth into in net movies or similar, you know. Anyone know the Net Movies reference we're talking about? It's our most popular episode ever.
Nobody spill it. My mother is in the audience. She hasn't listened to it.
Yeah. Well,
Emer's mother doesn't know that we live read the Google translation of a porno.
Well, now she fucking does. Now she does.
Sorry.
So don't tell her.
Sorry, which Emer purchased? Like, it was you that purchased it.
It's on your Amazon history.
I was the one that volunteered to download the book.
Volunteered.
It was on Amazon, so you get on a Kindle. So I paid 99¢ for a Kalosha threesome Gaelga.
Money well spent.
And then was really scared for a very long time in case Amazon posted a receipt to my house. Because my address is my mom's house.
And here we are now. Thanks. So, I know you probably like that one later, Phil.
She's blocking her ears there. Sorry. She doesn't know. Sorry.
So we are taking over internet streaming service Net Movies for one night only. And we are going to resurrect some ideas from development hell, from Irish mythology and from Irish literature, and indeed from Irish history. Mm-hmm. And of course, we'll welcome all of your ideas at the end. We'll have more than enough time for questions and the likes. But Podcast Dad, what made you think of this?
It occurred to me, you know, that there was some great stories that, you know, people could really get their teeth into. You know, maybe people are fed up of hearing about, you know, drug dealing chemistry teachers. And they're fed up of suburban mob bosses. And they're fed up of, you know, hipster prisoners in a women's prison. And
I have to ask this every episode, but can we be done for defamation?
Yes.
All right, Grant.
Look, this is Garadine earning her salts now. This is the reason we bring her on the podcast.
So was that
defamatory, Garadine?
sure. Look at you. Know what I mean? You know, it is what it is. And the important thing is
a known defense to defamation. It is what it is.
Love Island. This is what we're remaking. Is it? It is what it is.
I would refer you to Motherfucklore versus Wheelie Ray. It's 15 in the court records. Okay,
which we lost.
Can't comment on an ongoing court case. So we're gonna go. We're gonna basically have a look at the disappointment that was. I'm not gonna mention the names of any particular
okay,
Game of Thrones.
Look. There's a particular show that was shot in my beloved Antrim, which ended badly. And I think a lot of people who committed emotionally to Game of Thrones...
It was Shrek, wasn't it?
...were disappointed by the ending. And
was anybody here disappointed by the ending to Game of Thrones?
No spoilers.
No spoilers. It ends. Yeah. They win the Game of Thrones.
Who got the throne?
All of them.
Exactly. So there you have it. So, it occurred to me, you know, that, say, a big thing there, an issue there was that your man was writing his books at the same time as they were writing the television series, and then there was different issues confronting him at considering his literary legacy than there were to the producers thinking, you know, everyone loves Bronn, let's put Bronn in more stuff.
I think your man out of Robson and Jerome did a tremendous job.
I thought the guy from Robson and Jerome did a very good job indeed. And your one from Remain, who was a maid in Reigns of the Day, was also very spooky when she was carrying a glass of wine and looking at King's Landing like it, she didn't like it.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
Like, not a clue.
So anyway.
Make motherfucklore relevant again.
Listen, so the big issue here is that there are completed stories that have beginnings, middles, and endings, and they're out there, and they're in Irish history, mythology, and literature. And perhaps if you go back far back...
I'm going to go really fucking far back. I'm going to go way, way, way back, because basically one of the biggest issues with Game of Thrones, as you rightly say, was George R.R. Martin was still writing the books, and Benioff and Weiss, the producers, they basically ran out of storyline. So they had to start writing their own really, really cliched Hollywood storybook kind of ending to Game of Thrones while Martin hadn't written the book. So they were preempting the end of it. So
for somebody that doesn't know, they started making the films when they were only at the Order of the Phoenix. And then in the end, Harry and Hermione got together.
Yeah, basically. Okay. Yeah.
Got it.
100%.
I'm on board.
100%.
I got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Got it. Continue.
And like, you don't even realize that Neville Longbottom is the actual real hero of the whole thing all
along.
Yeah,
okay. So on board. Yeah. Yes.
Great.
And then
okay,
he actually gets really good looking at the end.
Well, he does, yeah.
He does.
That's shocking. That was
anyway,
an incredible... Yeah.
Anyway.
Good on you, Nev.
That's the chosen one right
that's
there.
That
was a Harry Potter joke. Yeah.
That's a fucking glow up.
Yeah. It wasn't shocking for the rest of us late bloomers.
And
Derek is a really, 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 really late bloomer.
Yeah, he's expecting to bloom in about 6 years. Oh. It's
meanwhile,
fine. He's an award-winning author. I can say this.
Patter's still waiting for his pension and his glow up. Like, it's all going to come at the one time. Yeah.
I will never bloom. That's just, it's not going to happen. I've accepted that. So I'm going way back to a story that was probably written down for the first time about 600 AD and recorded orally since 300 AD. And it's set around about the time of Christ. I'm going back to the Tán Bó Cúailnge.
Would it be fair to say?
The cattle raid of Cúaly.
On Tán.
Well, on Tán.
Unknown to a point. But not well known to a point.
Yeah.
And would it be fair to say this story could possibly be served 2-3 ways?
It could probably be served a million ways.
Okay.
Probably like 10-11 different ways. Basically, what I want to do is I want to milk the shit out of this. How many seasons did we get out of Game of Thrones? We got 7 seasons. How many Harry Potter movies were there?
A million.
8. Thank
too
you.
Many also. Yeah.
Thank you, nerds. I
like
appreciate
somewhere
that.
Between 4 and 1 million.
Yeah, somewhere between that. I want to get 11 fucking seasons out of The Tán.
Yes.
Because The Tán is the story of an argument over cows, to put it bluntly. Emer's nodding along, going, yes, yes, I hate when that happens. And what we want to do is we want to go back to what are called the Ravesgeilte, the prologues, because The Tán is a very, very short story. It's about the army of Connacht come to attack Ulster. Cuchulainn tries to stop them. He doesn't, but he kills some fuckers along the way in the most epic ways possible. And they end up stealing the cow.
I just want to say that the net movies synopsis is going to be an argument over cows goes violent. Like, that's going to be it. Like.
That's it, yeah. 11 seasons. Are you still watching
title?
The Tán? But the Ravesgeilte are brilliant because they tell the story of Cuchulainn, you know, noted dog murderer and fuckboy, Cuchulainn.
From Tara, the dog that Tara was. That's the dog.
Yeah,
segue.
Yes.
So basically, Patter wants to kill Tara.
Well, I'm going to give Tara a different role in this one.
All right, okay.
Because Tara's you're in my net movies series. You are. Tara's going to play Queen Maeve.
Woo! Yes.
Because there's nobody better than Tara Flynn to play Queen Maeve. Because one of the prologues, and this is basically, I'm going to thread these stories through each other interminably. People are going to get so fucking bored of this by about season 6.
I hear.
Like, there won't even be a cow. A cow won't feature until season 10. Like, we will not see a bovine animal until the denouement of the series. It will be after the climax and in the tail end as we look at the wind down of Tán Bó Cúailnge. But at the very, very start, Queen Maeve and her husband, King Alil, who was like her third husband, because she
in
was
bed.
A boss bitch. Yeah, they're in bed.
It's the pillow talk.
It's the pillow talk.
Yes,
yes
pillow
that's
talk.
One of my prologues.
Yes.
Brilliant. So Alil turns around to her and he says, there's an old proverb, you know, isn't it well for the wife of a wealthy husband? And Maeve just goes, yeah, yeah, yeah. But what the fuck would you know about that?
Yeah.
So they count up all their wealth. And it turns out they're dead even, except for the fact that Alil has this really, really class brown bull. Really, really very good. Oh, white bull. Sorry, white bull. The Fionnuver. He's got this white bull, the white bull of Cruachan, and he owns that. And that's basically it. They're dead level except for that. So she says, I need a bull. I need a bull. I need to get my hands on a bull.
Are you Tara? You
yeah. Yeah. Tara, yeah. You need a bull.
Yeah.
Tara, who would you like to play your husband in this movie? Because I was thinking Liam Cunningham. That'll do.
Yeah, grand.
But
excellent. So anyway, they need to get
a bull.
Would
it not be a Hemsworth brother?
No, that's the cows. No, the bulls.
The bulls.
Hemsworth
brothers play the cows.
Right. Okay. Yeah, beforehand.
Right.
Actually, I was kind of thinking of doing the social network on it and have Armie Hammer play both bulls.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So right. On board for that. Yeah. Yes, but only pay him for the one because, you know.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Jesus Christ. We're not made out of money here. We're not net movies, for God's sake. So anyway, she goes to borrow a bull from the only other ranch that can match Alil's wealth, the Brown Bull of Cooley. So she goes over to Dara, the Smith of Cooley. She's going to borrow your bull. She sends messengers. And the messengers go along. This is at the end of like season 3. We're taking a long time to get here. They, it's like, oh, come on, like Game of Thrones wasn't that fucking boring, like at the start. What I love about Game of Thrones is it took them an entire year to get from the north to King's Landing, right? In the first 2 seasons, they were all walking to King's Landing. And then by season 7, it was taking 2 episodes. It's like in a video game when you unlock fast travel. It was like, yeah, oh no, King's Landing, it's no problem. You just press X. You can skip it. You can skip 1.5 fucking seasons of this show.
The King's Landing Express was finally delivered.
Platform 13.5 in Winterfell. So they go over, she sends the messengers and they say, can we rent your brown bull for a year? Because that'll make me even with my husband, which is incredibly important to me. And Dara says, yeah, okay, that's a fair price. We'll rent the bull, that's no problem. And then the messengers, who get drunk, say, oh, just as well you agreed, because we would have fucked you up and taken your bull. And he says, oh, no, you didn't. So he refuses to give them the bull. So Maeve has to send an army. And, like, she puts this curse on the men of Connacht.
Yes.
I'm in there. You like this? Yes.
Thumbs up on my Netflix. Net movies. Sorry.
Yeah, net movies.
They won't win the All Ireland until all of them are dead.
Where is the football team coming into this? Like, when did the gas start? Like, it didn't start when Christ was
season
around.
Two,
like,
season two. It was there, season two. Yeah.
No, it did. I believe he was quite good at crosses. Oh, sorry, too soon.
Didn't like that podcast.
This not podcast.
2,000 years, lads. Jesus Christ. Sorry.
I love how, like, anybody listening to this afterwards will not be able to see the face I just pulled at you, like, because this is not a visual medium.
It's not a visual medium, thank God. Anyway, so she sends an army over, and in order to wipe out any resistance while she sees the bull, she gets a witch woman to put a curse on the men of Ulster and basically gives them period cramps.
Yes! I'm so into this!
So they suffer period cramps.
Can there be like a parody episode where it's like a commentary on modern day like gender pay gap?
The whole thing is a commentary on the gender pay gap.
Yes, so into that.
For 11 seasons.
Yeah.
The whole thing
is...
Oh,
the men on the internet will hate it. I love it.
The only person who can stand in their way is Cú Chulainn, because Cú Chulainn wasn't born in Ulster. He was born south of Ulster. He was born in the kingdom of Oireachtas in County Louth. So he's not from Ulster. So he doesn't suffer the period cramp. So he's able to come... Now, Cú Chulainn, Barry Keoghan.
Yeah.
Barry Keoghan.
Yeah.
Right? Until he goes into his warp spasm, his rheasthred. And when Cú Chulainn went into his warp, it was like serious Hulk. Like he would go big, one shoulder go higher than the other, one eye would sink back into his head, another one would pop out and drop down to his cheek, his jaw would come out and jut out to one side.
Oh my God, it's Mr.
His
T.
Arms would... No, it's Tom Hardy.
Okay.
Tom Hardy. Yeah, Tom Hardy.
I was
Hardy.
Hoping for a bit
yeah,
Mr.
Yeah,
T.
Yeah, I'm like down
Tom
with
Hardy.
That.
So Tom Hardy is Cú Chulainn in action. Barry Keoghan is Cú Chulainn out of action. But we have to go back to the prologue, the dog murder. We have to go back to him learning everything he learned off women.
But like,
because he learned everything off women.
Just to stress, Tom Hardy has his shirt off.
Always.
Well, the whole time.
Class.
The entire time.
Yeah.
Grant.
The entire time. In fact, I'm thinking this is Netflix, Net Movies.
Net Movies.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking Full Frontal. I'm thinking about 2 seasons
Quick
of Tom
reminder
Hardy's
that my
dick.
Mother is in the audience.
What do you say, Phil? She's nodding enthusiastically to the idea of 2 seasons of Tom Hardy's penis.
Fuck you.
This is a fine podcast about Irish I had once. Okay.
Anyway, after 11 seasons, it wraps up. Cú Chulainn has to kill his foster father with a spear that he throws with his foot. That's in season 7. And then in season 11, they finally manage to capture the bull and the two bulls kill each other. And we learn nothing. And it's still better than Game of Thrones.
I'll say.
Yeah, on time. But option it.
But there's another. There's another way with this same material, that, you know, the same way sometimes a book is filmed two different ways and it's completely different. Emer, there's more than one story in the ton.
There is. I kind of had my idea, like, all set what I was going to do, but now that I mentioned Shrek, I'm like, shit, how could I work Shrek into this? But I don't think I can, so I think it's too late. So I think I just have to talk about Gossip Girl.
Fair, yes.
Yes.
Okay. I will regularly go back to Gossip Girl on Net Movies. Just to watch, even though I know it's terrible and toxic, but like, oh, I love it so much.
It's class,
so
though.
Bad that it's good.
It's like class.
I'm assuming for the youths these days, it's like Riverdale, that show that's just like fucking insanely bad. Oh, yeah. But like, yeah.
Someone
so
groaned
bad
in the back there. Like, yeah.
That was an impressive groan.
Yeah.
I don't know who's
all
it was.
The way up here. Like, it was way back there.
So my favorite thing about Gossip Girl was
Chuck Bass. No, yeah. Sorry. Yeah, but yeah. Also, yeah. So problematic. So problematic. But anyway, go on.
Was that the guy with the curly hair?
No. That was the one with the cravat and like the really, really problematic
they
backstory.
They all had kind of curly hair though, didn't they? Nate didn't have curly hair. Nate had the straight hair.
Nate had the lip problem. Sorry, yeah. It's just part of a recap show of Gossip Girl.
I mean, they were all arseholes.
Oh, yeah,
all
but like, this there was is like chief arsehole, like.
Oh, okay.
This is arsehole number one, like, yeah. Fair?
Yeah.
The original arsehole.
Yeah. Yes, but like, oof, what a ride. Yeah. Like,
put that on my tombstone.
Like, causing absolute carnage in the Upper East Side. Pretty much.
Wall-to-wall Westchester boys. Yeah. Absolutely sending it.
Sending it. I forgot what I was saying.
Was there some horseplay in the tone there?
Oh, just the most horseplay you've ever seen. Just horseplay.
Yeah. What was I saying, lads?
Gossip Girl.
Gossip Girl.
Yeah, sorry. My favourite bit about Gossip Girl was they started getting like all these absolutely shocking reviews after like the first like season or whatever. And like all these publications, like these big publications were like, it's shit. So then they were like, do you know what? This is class. And they just started using all these like really shit reviews being like, the New York Times thinks we're terrible and a plague on society. Watch us. And it worked. Like, it absolutely worked, because how many seasons did Gossip Girl go on for? Like, millions.
Yeah, they had like, it was like, one of the reviews was like, don't show this to your children. And they were like, yes. Don't show this to your children. 5 stars.
Yeah.
Love that. Take something negative, make it positive.
Yeah, and it's like two half naked, like really rich Upper East Siders just like shifting in a corner. And it was
talking about their rich people problems. Yeah.
Oh,
great.
I love when I have just so many rich people problems. But basically, it was kind of like this scathing view on society is kind of what Gossip Girl would be if you were like a woke lad that studied in a certain upper class university in south side of the city.
Sorry, he's not woke. Like, you're talking about Dan. He's not woke.
No,
okay?
But like,
look, Dan's not woke. Okay. Sorry, I take back what I said about Chuck Bass. Dan, the worst character in it. But like, sorry, go on.
But we're not just remaking Gossip Girl.
No, like, no.
Can we do that?
Where are we putting this?
We're putting this kind of around the thon.
Yes.
Like, we're not going to include any bulls, because I don't think there's much like dry stock in the Upper East Side.
Bulls are dead.
So is it in the Upper East Side then? Are you putting the ton in the Upper East Side, or are you putting Gossip Girl in the ton? Like,
well, Northern Ireland is the Upper East Side of Ireland.
You're not wrong. I feel like I'm just going to change that there now. We're just
the Upper East Side of Ulster.
Says no. Right, okay. So
we're talking on ton XOXO.
XOXO, yeah. Oh my God, who would be the narrator?
We're going way back to the wooing of Emer, are we?
Yeah, we are. But like, Kristen Bell narrated Gossip Girl. So like,
Ruth Negga, she's got a lovely voice.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
She does have a lovely voice, yeah, actually. Yeah.
She gives good voice.
Great voice.
Yeah, so, I mean, this is kind of one that I get a pitch to the floor, because obviously everyone's seen Gossip Girl. So
obviously, like,
of course. Obviously, I mean, which
there's that one guy. There's like no, like that you fucking have, like.
But like,
I only watch critically acclaimed material.
His Net Movies is currently on his phone, being like, "Are you still watching Gossip Girl season 4, episode 7?" this is one I'm going to pitch to the floor. In that, which of the Upper East Side fuckboys, sorry, mum, would be the appropriate match for Cú Chulainn?
So, like,
Chuck.
No, sorry.
What do you mean by match? Like, as in, like, match or as in, like, match?
No, which
like,
one would be Cú Chulainn?
So, Chuck is Cú Chulainn. Right, got it. Okay, yeah.
Are we going to go with that one?
We're going to go with that one. Nate.
Somebody thinks Nate.
He was a posh boy though.
That's how
like,
left field.
As if they were not posh boys. Like Nate is. Nate is just eye candy. Like he's just a nothing character.
Like. Right. He had like a Justin Bieber haircut.
He's a furry.
Yeah. Cool.
I don't know if we can rule out Cucullin being a posh boy. He was literally the son of a god.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. They're all posh boys.
That's a lot better. That's a lot better than being the son of an investment banker with KBC. Like it's just it's.
It's my daddy works for KPMG. If we all remember that one.
My dad.
We've never seen anything like that at all.
So obviously Cucullin was not faithful.
Oh, that's Chuck then. Chuck.
Yeah.
That's Chuck. Fair. Okay. Chuck. Yeah. Got that. Chuck.
So
next.
Like that's why I think it should be a bit of Chuck.
A hurler.
Unfaithful. Yeah. But at the same,
I will not stand for this culty bashing. Cause that's what this is.
We played some hurling in Dublin too.
Like you played the hurling in Dublin too, did you? Yeah.
Garrodine, he was a dog murdering fuckboy. we've got the town is Game of Thrones. The Wing of Ymir is Gossip
yes,
Girl.
Yes, sorry. Yes, the whole idea of Gossip Girl being that kind of. Inward look on like society, and it was the story that was being told, and like telling all these people who like wouldn't possibly understand this life that this lifestyle that's being lived by like these kind of elite people is kind of what you get when you read early Irish literature. In that, obviously, in that time scale, the plebs, the commoners, wouldn't have been. Literate, they wouldn't have been able to read. So how would you learn about the law? How would you learn about how society would function? How would you learn about anything if you can't read? You'd learn it through like an oral tradition. And obviously like, no one's going to want to sit down and be like, all right, so this law about the bees is that if your bee stings someone and it's on
won't
their
take
land.
This law bashing, okay? Some of us enjoy right? sitting down listening to laws, okay?
You're going to want to listen to a story about like, you know, this horrific bee sting that went wrong or whatever. I'm talking about like the Bechtbraha. I'm not just pulling bees out of somewhere here.
I assumed it was a legal reference text. There.
Yeah.
I mean, not everybody knows.
Like, yeah. All right? but so you kind of get that with early Irish literature. It's like what I would take from it is how that would have been how, you know, this whole idea of like society and law and everything else would have been communicated to, you know, the measly farmers or whatever else. So that's why I think that you could kind of transpose this idea of like Gossip Girl and this like scathing socio-political commentary onto...
You could make her a poet. Gossip Girl's a poet.
Oh my god, I could!
Yes!
That'd be a damn move.
Gossip Girl is a bard.
Yes, because if you get something shitty written about you on the Gossip Girl blog,
you get satirized. Yeah. You get fucked.
Oh, class. I didn't even realize I was making that point.
Yes.
Oh, you're done for.
Yeah.
Oh, lads, that's
and, like,
class.
Dan Humphreys is like one step above a poet. Like somebody who like forces his poetry on you.
Oh, no, he definitely has a moleskin where he writes his deepest thoughts and his poetry in a coffee shop with his MacBook and he pretends
so
to be working related. Class.
My favorite scene from Gossip Girl ever is, you know that when Hilary Duff is randomly in it for a while? Like, sorry, I've watched this a lot. I like... Dan is just like on his laptop, like typing to Hilary Duff, like in the middle of the street.
Yes, I was thinking that. And he's on like the tiny little notebook laptop on like a bollard.
Yes. That's it. Like,
imagine so walking down the street in New York now and there's some prick with a jumped up haircut and he's on like a little like notebook, like the really tiny, like the minuscule little laptop on a bollard and he's just typing.
How did
like,
we not know?
Blogging.
I'm going to blog about this so hard.
Like, surely he had a BlackBerry at that stage.
That's like, this was like 2007. Where was he getting Wi-Fi? Like, I don't... Anyway,
That's what I thought when I watched that first. Like, where is he getting the Wi-Fi from? He's not hotspotting his Nokia 3210.
He was just typing up a draft for Gossip Girl. Yeah.
So, that's incredible. Gossip Girl. Okay.
Yes. Oh, my God.
Is going to be a poet.
Gossip Girl is a satirist.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. We've done it. Yeah. We've done it.
Female poet we've as well. I mean, yeah. I could talk about this for years, but we've I can't because we only have a certain time limit.
We've done it.
Yeah, we've done it. We're done. Right. Okay, I'm done. Goodbye.
We've done it.
This episode is sponsored by Feras na Gaeilge, who are celebrating 20 years of promoting the Irish language, Fiche Bliain ag Fós. Language is about communication, and communication unites communities. So, community is at the heart of Feras na Gaeilge. Fearas na Gaeilge creates a network of community-based Irish language development officers throughout the island of Ireland to support and promote Irish, like Leibhéal Pobal, at community level. Through the language planning process, Fearas na Gaeilge is responsible for developing 5 Irish language network communities and 13 Gaeltacht service towns, as well as other government initiatives. Fearas na Gaeilge also funds Gaeilge le Chéile, an initiative in townlands such as Clondalkin, Carn Tucker, Loughrea, Ennis and Belfast. That's in addition to Fearas na Gaeilge supporting Irish language officers in communities all over the island of Ireland. Check out the great new words created over the past 20 years by the terminology wizards over on Fearas na Gaeilge's Instagram handle, at Fearas na Gaeilge. Fearas na Gaeilge, celebrating 20 years. Issi ar Dheanga Héanaí. It's our language.
So there's a couple of approaches we could take to Anton. So I was going to thinking of jumping forward a few centuries forward.
Millennia.
Maybe a millennia or almost more. I want to take you all to a city that is...
Cork?
A city that is...
Is it Cork?
Trembling Cork. At basically Cork. In terror like at the madness in the island next to it.
Cork.
Sounds like Cork.
Derek's going to swing digs.
Overrun by property developers.
Oh, it's not Cork.
No.
So, the British centre of power is being dominated by pure madness. The city of Dublin is overrun by crazy property developers. Crime is shocking. Rents are bad. Uh-oh. It is George in Dublin.
Ooh. Okay.
You had us there, Dad. We thought it was nowadays.
Yeah. I see what you did there.
Yeah, you had us until the last second.
With the property developers and the rent.
So basically, yeah. And the
did
stuff.
You get it?
And the crime.
Did you get it too?
So it's...
The problems. I mean... UK. Sorry, we forgot that one. The problems. The UK. Go on. Yeah.
He's trying to say that Boris Johnson is a bit like Mad King George. It's very clever.
Sorry, we are really interested. Please continue. Don't leave us okay. now.
So, the period of the 4 Georges in a row during that sort of period from the kind of about 1715, 1720 to 1830 in Ireland was a period when Dublin, as we kind of know it now, largely took shape. An awful lot of the streets that we kind of know and recognize as being very associated with being very specifically Dublin happened at this time. And it was also a time when some very significant minds happened to kind of emerge from this place. And when you consider that it kind of came to an end with the Act of Union and everything else that happened in Ireland in the 19th century, it just strikes me as very interesting that the greatest satirist in the history of the world, and one of the finest, which is obviously Dean Swift, and then...
Oh, I thought you meant Oliver Callan.
Huh?
I thought you meant Oliver Callan.
No one has ever said that about Oliver Callan.
Well...
But he does the voices really well.
Once more, I need to bring it back. Is this defamation, and can we be done for it?
Look,
again, I'm the only person that's scared of this on this podcast.
No, we're all very scared. Yeah, yeah.
So Jonathan Swift, the greatest satirist of all time.
Jonathan Swift, and very interested in mental health, as a matter of fact. In his will, he left a portion of his vast wealth to create a centre for what would have been at the time called a lunatic asylum.
It's still with us. It's still there. St. Patrick's Mental Health Services behind Dr. Stevens' hospital.
And he added a line in which he said that if he had more money, he would have put a roof over the city.
It's cheaper than building an asylum
if you just put a roof over Dublin.
Okay. Yeah. I was thinking, but okay.
4 walls and a roof and just box all the Dubs in.
To be fair, right? But
compared to his peers, he was very into mental health.
It's a bit rich coming from the guy who was buried standing up because he didn't want to get washed away in case of an emergency flood.
It's rain. That's what he was talking about. It was rain. Surely, the roof.
Yeah, he's on St. Patrick's.
I'm taking it way off key here a second. Sorry, Derek. A friend of mine used to be a tour guide in St. Patrick's, and he was bringing me through one time, and he was telling me, like, how, you know, your man was buried standing up. And I kind of looked at him in horror, and I'm like, at any point in history, has anybody heard crumbling? Because gravity is going to take its effect at some point. Like,
yeah, he's not standing anymore.
Like, that lad's not standing anymore.
He's squatting. He's squatting in the coffin right now. Yeah.
Like, but, that's nasty. Anyway.
He also used to get wheeled around on a mobile pulpit.
Who is anybody, this guy? Come, if, is this what your net movie series is about?
Swifty.
Jonathan Swift. Swifty.
Oh, wow.
He used to get wheeled around by his assistant on a mobile pulpit. And basically what he would do is he'd be given these four-hour sermons. And if anybody fell asleep, he'd make his assistant wheel him over next to them so that he could roar at them and wake them up.
Oh, my God. We should do that with the podcast.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, my God. We should put Derek on a wheelie podium.
I'd rather not. But
did you hear about Jonathan Swift? Right into their face.
Does anybody listen to our podcast to fall asleep? Because fuck you, wake up!
Anyway, Jesus Christ, before we interrupt
sorry,
that
yeah,
anymore.
Sorry, yes, Georgie in Dublin.
But yeah, so, I mean, in Georgie in Dublin, we have this, between Dean Swift, Edmund Burke, and Wolf Tone.
Edmund Burke is being played by Professor Jordan Peterson.
Yes,
no,
he was.
No.
He was the Jordan Peterson of his time. In some ways,
he
was encouraged.
We're not paying him because we don't fund that.
But what is very interesting is that he has been, like, a lot of popular artists in the 90s have been cancelled. But then some people from further back have suddenly been resurrected. Such as who's that lad that science fiction guy? The Wells, is it? Or no?
L. Ron Hubbard. No.
L. Ron H. G. Yeah. Wells.
No, it's a bit like, and there's, yeah, but also a lot of people suddenly started to put it in their Twitter bios, Burkean. And it basically means they're very, very, very right wing, but they think they're clever.
When you said the science fiction guy, I was like, Doctor Who?
No. Well, yeah, him too.
Is Doctor Who cancelled?
No. Not Doctor Who's fine. Doctor Who's still fine for now.
It's defamation. I don't know why. Doctor Who
was canceled. But
can you defame a fictional character?
But one of the things, no.
Doctor Who fictional.
Doctor Who's fine. Don't worry about Doctor Who.
Okay, sorry.
Look, no one's coming after your Doctor Who. Doctor Who's fine. You can still wear your scarf. You can still go into the phone booth.
Oh my God, it is. Yeah, you're right.
Sorry,
I never watched
Doctor
it.
Doctor Who, not a real doctor. What?
Okay.
Yeah, he's the one that could talk to the animals.
That was Doolittle.
He's not real, right? Sorry. That's another show.
Sorry, yes.
So anyway.
Yes. George in Dublin.
Yes.
One of the things about George in Dublin, and I think it's where the expression Whigs and the Green comes from, is that duelling was very, very popular. And fans of Hamilton will probably know that duelling is a very big thing there. It was even bigger in Ireland, and that duelists in Philadelphia, New York, and across the states were reading duelling reviews of what was happening in Dublin. Because duelling was so big. It was
absolute carnage.
So much so that Wolf Tone was expelled from Trinity for dueling. And at one point, he had a dueling injury, and his doctor said that he needed to stop dueling. And he challenged his doctor to a duel.
Wolf Tone was a knob. Didn't
Daniel O'Connell kill a guy in a duel and then dedicated his life to the pursuit of peace because he felt so bad about it?
Probably. Sounds like a Kerry man thing to do.
Yeah. I'm sorry I killed you. I won't do it again.
Pretty much, yeah. That was an accent better than I could ever do anyway.
But and there was John Philpot Curran, who's a famous barrister, and at the time libel laws, which still stand today, were introduced largely as a measure to stop dueling. But he was considered, yes.
We don't mention the
libel laws. Yeah, but at one point he was giving sitting while someone else is giving a very bad speech in Grattan's Parliament, which is where College Green now, and it was mocked so much, and he said, "Your speech is so bad, you should challenge yourself to a duel."
Oh,
that's a good burn.
Shade.
Oh, I'm stealing that. That's
ouch.
Good.
He was such an accomplished duelist that at a point he would literally just go in and like let the other person take the first shot and then just shoot the ground because people just knew that Curran was such
Hamilton
a good duelist.
Hamilton reference. Shoot the sky. Anyone? No? No, okay, never mind.
Oh, shooting the sky was very American. It's very notion-y. Shooting the ground was the Irish way.
And it didn't work out well in the end.
To be fair, right? Shooting the sky is fucking stupid, right? Because if there's no wind, that fucker's coming straight back down.
Yeah.
He's coming straight... Oh, fuck. Oh. Sorry, carry on.
But, so, and then an awful lot of the, I guess, I suppose, George and Dublin was a time full of characters who, you know, and their diaries, the weird thing is, and when I'm reading Wolfe Tone's diaries and Curran's diaries and even some of Swift's ones, they read a lot like weird Twitter feeds now. They were full of just bitching about people and sliding into DMs in a way. But you read them in connection with the other correspondents.
It's also then a Gossip Girl, but like from George and Dublin.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, the lad, just the lads being lads. Like,
well, there was
like,
women there too.
The women like, also.
No, wait, no. This is worse than Gossip Girl and George and Dublin. This is Entourage.
Oh,
you remade Entourage.
Yes. And then a movie at the end, which is just
so bad. Can we skip straight to the really bad movie?
Someone greenlights for some reason.
I have to ask you, Derek, who's going to play Wolfe Tone?
I think it's only fair. Wolfe Tone's being played by Hozier.
Sorry.
Oh.
How very dare you? My husband Hozier would never.
No, listen, defamation, yeah?
No, Hozier is my husband. Sorry, that's a fact. Not defamation at all. Like, Hozier.
Wolfe Tone used to go around in a military uniform when he was in college.
Looks sharp on him.
21-year-old. And it's in his diaries. It's in his diaries that, like, I'm not in the military, just the chicks love it.
Like, and Hozier would never, my husband would never.
Look, the blue and white, it's totes. It's good. Like, we're going to start a tradition here, you know, every year.
People in this audience have not heard that
they
recording.
Have.
Like,
everyone's
what?
Heard it. Everyone's heard that recording. That didn't happen.
Anyway. The worst thing about it is, like, that meme will be totally gone from popular culture by the time this is aired.
Meh.
Gone. Like, such is the fleeting nature of Irish Twitter.
But, like, someone from the south side is going to do something stupid again. And then
that's a guaranteed.
We'll get more
guaranteed.
Content.
It's guaranteed. One of their TDs will fall off a fucking swing or something. It's just guaranteed. Somebody will do something dumb.
If this chair was a bit more spindly, I'd nearly fling myself off of there now for the crack, but I'd probably do myself a real injury.
Who's going to play Sean O'Rourke in that remake? I just want to know. That's what I want to know.
That's obviously going to be one of those Michael Sheen ones.
Michael Sheen will play Sean O'Rourke.
Michael Sheen will play Sean O'Rourke.
Michael Sheen will play all the parts.
All the parts. Michael Sean, Sheen. I was injured. Sorry, I don't know. That's defamation.
Look, that's obviously going to be an Olivia Colman, Michael Sheen double act.
That's incredible.
Love that. Yes.
It's incredible.
It's going to be like an Tonya sort like remake. Like, there was no reason to make that movie about the person who like literally like hobbled another person, but they made it anyway. And she got nominated for an Oscar.
I can't believe they cancelled fucking Firefly and they made that movie.
Jumping forward 100 years, 200 years or so, Gary Jean.
Yes, let's move forward to 1936.
Ooh. 1936, an exciting time for fashion.
Okay.
Someone really got that joke.
I really enjoyed that.
You're like throwing out fastballs to one person out there. That's incredible.
Just like got the joke so hard, no one else needs to get it. It's done.
So like at the moment I'm on my Net Movies account, I'm very into like a show that somewhat accurately, but mostly inaccurately, depicts, say, the life and times of a certain monarch.
Is it Prince Andrew? No, he's not a monarch. No,
Prince Andrew hasn't appeared yet and I'm fucking ready.
He doesn't sweat, you know.
You know, it's a medical condition, the Falklands, not defamation.
Was there carnage in the Falklands?
Oh, there's a lot of shit going on in the Falklands. Let's not get into that, okay? Because
anyway.
They're about 2 years away from making a dramatized version of the Falklands and how it was actually grand. But anyway, abdication. That's where. So I've got a vision for like a lot of different episodes and we chop and change between. So first we're at abdication. So the abdication crisis in 1936 was... So have you seen The King's Speech? Right, great movie. But also, when you're watching that movie, you should be thinking, what were the boys over in Dublin? What was Dev and the lads up to? Carnage? No, they weren't, because they were in bed by 9, because religion, Catholicism.
Dev was too busy shitting on women.
Also...
Dev was too busy shitting on women. Enter Garrodin, because I got notes. Okay.
Also, can I just say, if the King's Speech had been set in Ireland, it just would have been a movie about someone waiting 3.5 years to see a speech and language therapist.
Oh,
fair. Yeah.
Too real for this hour of the evening.
Yeah.
Too real.
Yeah.
Too
That's
real.
Why it wasn't said over here.
Too real. Anyway, so you should be thinking, what were the boys up to? Loads of crack. No. So 1936, there was rumours going around. So there was nothing in the British press about Edward and his Mrs. Wallace, who I think probably
like harshly judged because she was a woman and a bit of crack, but also possibly definitely a Nazi. You know, but like they're fond of that over there, the British royals. They're all right with Nazis, like, so anyway. That's not what we're talking about. Abdication, yeah. So that was going on, and the Brits were losing their shit over it. Like they were like, oh fuck, what's gonna happen? And like Dev and the boys were like, perfect opportunity. So we got that treaty, didn't love it, weren't into it. So like, let's get on it, let's write a constitution. While the Brits are looking there, we're working here. It's the Kansas City Shuffle. That's a reference to that like almost good movie, Looking Number 7, kind of good. Anyway, probably on Net Movies. Anyway, so when they're at that, the Brits worrying about where Edward is dipping his wick, Dev and the lads are over. Sorry, Phil.
Wick. The royal wick.
Where one is dipping one's wick. So the lads are over and they're like, let's get on it. Like they were kind of thinking about a constitution for a while. So they're like, let's start writing one. So we're all familiar with the constitution. Yeah, that blue book that causes all the problems. Yeah. So this time last year we did this show and I was like, Dev was harshly judged because of that film. Well, now I'm about to do a 360 and say, Dev was harshly judged because of that film. Here's why you should harshly judge him. So I got some notes. So there was like a constitution being written and they released a draft of it and the draft was grand, but there was like this clause in it that says, as the clauses do, so it's Article 40 and the preamble, and they talk about equal rights of people and they say everyone's entitled to equality, blah, blah, blah. And the gals were like, can we just pop in there without distinction as to sex? No big deal. Just pop a few words. Won't make that much of a difference. Probably will make a difference in the lives of women. And Dev was like, no, not doing that. No, not at all. Like, absolutely no, like, disadvantage to doing that. Probably. I mean, who knows? The Eighth Amendment. That's who knows. So, yeah.
Played by Tom Von Lawler, obviously, in this scene. Yeah.
No, I've got the cast. That's coming later. Oh. Not Tom Von Lawler. No. Wouldn't do him dirty like that. So the gals all got together and they were like, look, Dev, can you just pop this bit into the constitution, so you know we won't have a shit time and have all of those Magdalen laundries and have our reproductive rights taken away for us and our autonomy taken away for us and not be allowed to work and just generally be treated like shit. And he was like, thanks, but we're actually set, we're all right, we're okay. So instead of debating like this major issue about equality of half the population, they were like, we're busy because we need to discuss in the Dáil the powers of the president. It's real important, guys. Like, anyone who's a long-time listener, it's not. It's not important. It's not important. Like, it's not important at all. But we love Miggledy. It's Miggledy.
We love Miggledy.
We do.
We do. Yeah. We love Patter's impersonation of him, too.
We do. Big up.
Yes, indeed. I would like to thank the Motherfucklore podcast for their tremendous love of our president, Michael D. Higgins.
So I have a couple of characters that need representation, okay? They need it. Okay, and the first, obviously, Hannah Shee Skeffington. We're all a big fan. Yes, God, yes. Hannah's great crack. So we need her because she was totally against it. She was calling Dev a fascist all around. Great crack. Love that for her. And then we also need this lady whose name is Gertrude Gaffney, who's class. I read this in an academic article that I read, Karen, that I didn't take down the name for. So sorry for not referencing it. I just didn't write it down. I can't remember why. But anyway, Gertrude. So she said the Constitution was going to be the death knell of the working women, a comrade. And she also had this great quote that I want to work into it. So she said, Mr. De Valera has always been a reactionary where women are concerned. He dislikes and distrusts us as a sex. And his aim ever since he came into office has been to put us into what he considers our place and keep us there. Big up, Gertrude. Wow.
Good woman.
Great.
Tell
woman.
Us what you really think, Gertie.
Yeah, am I right? And Dev was like, no, sure, what could go wrong? What could possibly go wrong? The marriage bar. That's what went wrong. We weren't allowed to work for like till like 1976, I think.
73.
Yeah. So just if you got married, you're out. Like, so basically at the time there was like, so this is gonna be another episode, right? There's gonna be another episode based on like the working person.
Are we doing a mini series? Are we going
mini? No.
Ooh, no. Nothing mini about this.
This is big. This is the production value of like Chernobyl. And we're going to have a corresponding podcast, which, sorry guys, I'm out. Like, I'm doing that one when that happens, okay? I'm going to present that shit, okay?
With Tara Flynn! Yay!
Woo!
I got you, girl. So yeah, that's the production value. So it's going to be several seasons. It's not just going to end when the reactor blows up. Like this is going to continue, right?
We have to deal with the fucking fallout.
Because we got to go back to 1916 as well. Because the gals were like, here, our souls, this isn't what we fought for in 1916. We were all with you. And Dev was like, thanks for the guns there, Countess Markovitch. Away now with you. Thanks. Cheers. Good luck. And she was like, no, I've also cast her as well. We'll get to that.
In that, actually, I'm picturing, do you remember that like weird, awkward hug at the end of Harry Potter between Draco and Voldemort?
Yeah, weird hug.
That between,
no,
like,
obviously Markovitch Dev wouldn't touch Dev. Another woman because he had the Mike Pence attitude to women. Like, he just wasn't going to be around them.
Yeah.
No. So effectively, they were like, the Constitution's going to put us in the home and it's going to make women like only value to this society as that they're in the home. And he was like, no, it's not. Spoiler. That's what it did. And we still have that shit. It's still, you go right up in there, look for Article 41. You'll find it. Our place, the kitchen. And we've talked about this in the podcast before. But and then also, so if the without distinction as to sex clause had been put in, I don't think that you could have feasibly worked in an Eighth Amendment. I don't think he could have feasibly allowed the marriage bar to continue because the marriage bar was in operation at that point. But all of these like shitty things that happened to women wouldn't have happened. And the gals were like a little bit too busy being treated as second class citizens to be like, I told you so, because, you know, their autonomy was being taken away. So like now we can be like, I told you so, Dev.
But you almost make it sound like it was deliberate.
That's not defamation, and yes, I do. Dev was so, like Garda, having...
we have to ask you, who's in the cast? Who's cast. In this? Who's in this?
Yeah,
who's
cast,
in this?
Cast, come on.
So I cast one man because I only cast Dev and I don't care about the rest of them. yeah, so don't care. So Hannah Shee Skeffington. I want Brenda Fricker to be Hannah Shee Skeffington.
Oh, yes.
Yes? Mm. Yeah. Good, yeah. Okay, love
Get
that.
Get in.
Countess Markovitch, Fiona Shaw. Love her.
Oh, yes.
Wouldn't she be a great...
She's got the posh voice.
Yes.
Yes.
And I just think she'd look great. She'd be a great Countess Markovitch. She'd rock that. Like, so I didn't mention Louis Bennett, who was like the head of the women's trade union. She was class. She also thought Deb was a massive fascist. So I want her to be Fionnuala Flanagan. Do you know Fionnuala Flanagan?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Great, right? This is a great cast. Like, does anyone know anyone at Net Movies? Like, get in touch. Gertrude Gaffney, the woman I mentioned earlier with the, she would tell us how you really feel. Yeah. Controversial, but Helena Bonham Carter. Like,
oh, yeah. Woo.
She had a great Irish accent in Ocean's 8.
She does great a good Irish accent.
I think she'd be down with that. I mean, controversial. And then Dev, I have cast as Aidan Gillen, who I think... a good Dev,
He played hockey, and there's literally no difference.
Same you mean Aidan Gillen, the greatest actor who ever came out of Ireland, that guy.
Yeah, that guy, That guy who, like, if you watch The Wire back, you'd ride him. But if you watch Peaky Blinders now, you wouldn't ride him, like...
I did not believe that was Aidan Gillen in Peaky Blinders.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was trying to Google some other lad's
Dev,
name.
Dev, though? Yeah? Dev?
As Dev, it? Absolutely. But I was trying to Google some other lad's name in Peaky Blinders. Next thing I was like, that's not Aidan Gillen.
It is Aidan Gillen.
It is.
It's him. I haven't watched Peaky Blinders.
What?
I haven't watched Peaky Blinders.
Good.
Somebody just verbally and out loud said, oh my God, that another human being hasn't watched a television
show. No. So I didn't get it about Cillian Murphy. I didn't get it. And then, yes. Thank you. Yes. And then I was like, watch Peaky Blinders. And I was like, oh, I get it. And like you can say with the shirt off, no, leave the shirt on, Cillian. Leave the suit on, leave the hat on. Sorry, Phil.
So just the shirt and the hat, or is that
the whole ensemble?
I'm gonna be put up for adoption by tomorrow morning.
Okay. So
but yeah, that's
I think it's fair to say those are some series you can really get binging into. There's some real good storylines there. There's some, you know, stuff that can move you and learn you and, you know, maybe even give a few chuckles along the way.
You're getting no laughs out of mine.
What?
Yeah, no. No,
no laughs out of your
mind. It's going to feel like shit constantly. That's what
I want. It's not to be laughed at.
Just pure,
It's not to be laughed at.
What's the last scene?
It continues. There's like one of those where it fades to black. And it's like, you're like, oh God, when you're about to Google, like what happens next? And it ends, I don't know, like the mid 40s. It's shit for women. Still shit today. That's the ending. And you're like, that's the ending.
Oh, it's one of those shows that doesn't make you feel any better.
Exactly. Yes.
Love it.
So it's not like Shrek.
No.
No.
It's unlike Shrek.
Okay.
It's anti-Shrekiel. And it's
But if I can cast Cameron Diaz, I'll pop her in here.
She should go in there.
Doesn't utter a word, because we've seen that Irish accent she did in, what's that movie?
Gangs of New York. So bad.
Yeah. She'd just be like mute.
But she could play a sort of a silent background Rosie Hackett.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Why not? That's Rosie true. Hackett. That is true. Actually, Rosie Hackett would never settle for fucking background. You're absolutely
right. She could be like Rosie Hackett's stunt double. I don't know.
There we are. Starring Cameron Diaz as Rosie Hackett's stunt double. Speaking of stunts,
we're about to pull a mad one now. And thank you all for
coming. Wouldn't be like us.
Yeah. We really enjoyed having you all this evening, and I'm going to ask Tim and Naomi to join us on stage, and we are going to take this moment to take some questions from the crowd and see if there's anyone who has any questions about either of the shows they've seen tonight.
Would you please give a huge round of applause from the Irish Passport
amazing podcasters,
Liam O'Reilly and Tim McInerney.
Thanks, guys.
Hello.
Wow.
Hello again.
Thank you so much. Questions, guys, for any of us?
I mean, we thought we got rid of these two, and then they just came back.
Yeah.
Oh, sitting on our stage.
We have a mic.
We have a first question.
Hello.
So I have a question for you. We riffed on it downstairs in the green room earlier.
Never reveal the secrets of the green room. Never reveal the secrets of the green room.
Okay, don't overshare. So I'd love to get your feedback on this, but it strikes me when you were talking about the touring and everything earlier on, how is it that we've not managed to make these stories so compelling for popular culture that we haven't turned them into TV series or films? And I'd love to know your thoughts on this.
That's such a good
question.
There
was talks for a while of Michael Fassbender doing Cú Chulainn, wasn't there?
Tim has a great theory, which is that the tone is all about the secret gay relationship at the centre of it.
Ah, it's true. I mean, this isn't my theory really at all. It has been said. Cú Chulainn and Ferdia have this weird, sexy death
They weren't
scene.
Just foster brothers.
Yeah, indeed.
Foster brother.
Foster brothers. They're not related at all.
No. No blood relation, but they shared a bedroom for several years.
No, this is like a porno.
It's like Clueless with Cher and her stepbrother.
Yeah. That's exactly what it's like. So Paul Rudd plays Ferdia.
Well, I mean...
Class.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Good. We're on board.
To give a huge spoiler, basically, Cú Chulainn kills Ferdia. His best friend...
He penetrates him really intimately.
He kills him by love, basically. So,
remember the spear from the toe, the foot spear.
That's it. And they fight for days.
Mostly.
They fight all day at the ford, and then they heal each other all night afterwards.
Yeah.
It's in the text. I'm not making that shit up.
Chicken, wow.
So when they start describing the spear, I mean, there is absolutely no question what they're talking about. And then you have this climactic penetration scene.
Quick reminder that my mother is still in the audience. Just in case any of us forgot, because I am so painfully aware right now.
but Tim, you raise an incredibly valid point, and one of the reasons that we don't have this in our oeuvre is that everything's been sanitized. So I'm going to fucking blame Dev.
Well, you know, I mean...
I'm blaming AIDS.
It was Dev.
That's not what we're blaming him for. It's feminist.
We can blame him for more than just that. He did that as well.
Bad for
he did that
things.
As well.
I'm going to take a neutral question and say that down to the production costs of making Cú Chulainn turn into a monster with his eye hanging out.
They made the Hulk
in the 70s. It's fine. We would settle for Lou Ferrigno in green body makeup again.
I also think we have to consider the question of whether a warp spasm and a salmon leap are adequate special powers, you know, up against super strength, invisibility. Salmon leap sounds
over, like,
frankly pathetic.
Have you ever seen Simone Biles? That is a superpower.
Being able to
change direction midair is a fucking superpower.
Marvel and DC have really shit all over earlier. Ireland now after that, do you know? There's Spider-Man class. Oh, there's Cú Chulainn, he shot some.
No, I so think, like, because they make, like, okay, here, okay, Shakespeare's fine, he's grand. But like they're like, oh my god, it's the greatest thing ever written. It's fine. Everybody dies in the end of like all of the stories. Like, I've seen it before. It's happened every time. Or the men are actually women. That's the Merchant of Venice. Hilarious misunderstanding. Like, it's not like... So, like, if they're going to make and, like, just eroticize those, like, they're so good. They're fine. The Tone is class. Like, make that into a series.
The Tone is class. I see quite a lot of potential in the Scohawk and the Morrigan, to be honest.
Yeah,
I mean,
they're amazing.
Cool female
yeah.
figures,
amazing.
Right?
Class.
Yeah.
Oh, and this is the thing as well. I mean, I think the warp spasm passage, I'm only reading it, and I've only ever read it in translation, but it is one of the most remarkable pieces of literature I've ever read in my life. And when I was reading it, we were actually studying together, and we were studying literature, and we were doing modernism. And, like, this seemed, like, 10 times more impressive in terms of modernism than any modern that we were studying. And I think even if, let's say, some kind of Net Movies a production company made the most spectacular visual rendition of the warp spasm, they wouldn't get close to what you imagine when you read that passage. So is it even possible? You know?
No, so, I love how you, like, downplayed as well. You're like, I've only read it in translation. I have a master's in this and I still haven't read it. Like, I've read it in translation, but, like, am I in my shit?
So, in answer to your question, the reason we haven't adapted them into movies is they are too impossible and too gay.
Class? Yeah?
There's still time.
Any other questions?
I was wondering if you think that the Gay Byrne, Annie Murphy interview might work in a Frost Nixon-y kind of way?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Absolutely,
oh,
sir. Fuck. We should chat later. Yes, absolutely.
Michael Sheen. Michael Sheen is Gay Byrne.
Michael Sheen is Gay Byrne and
and Annie Murphy. Yeah.
But I do think so.
Tom Vaughan Lawler, he can play anyone.
Yeah, he could play anywhere.
But so we can Michael Sheen is Gay Byrne, Tom Vaughan Lawler is Annie Murphy.
No, but we can get an American for that because she's American. That's Cameron Diaz.
Yeah.
Finally, we've achieved our task. We found a role for Cameron Diaz.
Woohoo!
There's going to be flashbacks. There's going to be flashback scenes with Bishop Casey in that, I imagine. And in that case, people have to
listen.
Who plays Bishop Casey?
What? Brendan Gleeson.
Oh yes,
yes, yeah.
Because he was. It's weird to think that, like, when you kind of in those few decades back, what a kind of like what a large figure he was. Then he
sex symbol.
You know, he wrote this thing where he was officially against the official church, but he was still representing church. And one of the reasons Catholicism kind of embedded itself so deeply was people were able to say, "Oh, I disagree with the church, but I have a very deep Catholic faith personally, which is disconnected from that." And that was. It allowed people like Peter McFerry and Bishop Casey and stuff like that to perpetuate a notion that you could criticize a church without actually leaving it.
Which is really, it's really Irish. Like, it's really Irish.
I don't like that
know.
Best, but...
Like, I'm not Catholic, but I'm Catholic. Like, I don't go to Mass, but I have a Celtic jersey.
Culturally Catholic.
Culturally
Catholic. One of our listeners wrote in, actually, to say that when she came to Ireland from the Netherlands in the 80s, and her family had to decide whether they were going to be Catholic atheists or Protestant atheists.
and there's evidence as well, and I know and the Briscoe family were talking about this, and said that there was Catholic Jews and Protestant Jews. In Dublin in the 50s and 60s, and the idea was that the Shatters were Protestant Jews and the Briscoes were Catholic Jews.
Consider my mind blown.
Is that just which private school they went to? Like,
Southside or Northside?
Southside, Northside, that's it. Yeah, that's it. Any other questions out there?
Questions, guys?
Massive respect for Annie, by the way, that interview.
Yes,
Claire! Come on up, come on. Hello, Claire!
Oh, hello!
Former guest of our show, Claire.
We have a contender. Don't worry, you don't need to hit
Claire's
anyone over the head with
pockets.
The chair.
Can we just appreciate that for a moment, please? Yes.
Class.
Woo.
Hey.
I was wondering, what do you think the Madams of Manta would play out as a TV series? Because that seems like an amazing one.
No,
that we should see.
No, it's not
bravo,
a musical.
Bravo.
Make it into a musical. Oh, yes. We should make it musical.
So actually, I was saying this, there was a famous Madam of Manto, and I was talking to Terry about this afterwards, a famous Madam of Manto who is celebrated in song, a woman called Dicey Riley. She was one of the Madams of Manto, and round about between 1916 and 1921, there was a growing Republican fervour in Dublin, and it became fashionable in the courts for petty criminals to claim that they didn't recognise the British court, they didn't recognise the British establishment.
I love it.
Yeah, no, because you'd get a cheap headline. You know, and if you had a sympathetic judge who was, you know, had a Republican bent, you might get off with a fine or a suspended sentence. So it became very common to say, "I don't recognise the court." And anyway, Dicey Riley was up for brothel keeping, and she was brought up in front of the court, and the judge says, "I save the court some time, Miss Riley. Do you recognise this court?" She says, "Yes, my lord, every fucking one of you." So yes, put that on the telly. Yeah. The Madams of Manto, I would subscribe. I will get a VPN and download Disney fucking Plus for that. Absolutely. 100%. Madams of Monto, yeah. Give it to me.
Absolutely. I mean, in a very real sense, I mean, when we were talking about that, from 1880 to 1920, that's one of the most interesting political times in Irish history.
Yeah.
And that there was 1,600 sex workers in Dublin who were right at the heart of that, between rebels and British soldiers and Irish soldiers and Free State soldiers and what have you, probably knowing every one of their deepest secrets. Yeah. You know, that is actually fascinating.
Yeah, and especially like the denouement, the last couple of seasons of it, when after 40 years of getting shafted, they got shafted and Monto was completely shut down.
Sure. Yeah,
the downfall. But think about it, like 1916, I mean, that's within the period. So like when we think about the bombardment of Dublin that happened from the Liffey with the gunship and everything, like it would have been falling on this red light district. It's incredible. But it's like this totally hidden history. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely amazing. Great question. Fantastic.
Great question.
Brilliant.
Great question. Thank you. I only found out recently that the song Monto isn't contemporaneous to the actual isn't contemporaneous yeah. to the actual event. It was written in the
1960s, 50s.
Oh, 1958 is what I heard.
Yeah. But it's a great song, though.
It's a great song, and there's a lot of detail. But things we learned it in school.
Apparently
in
it's
primary
50.
School. And it was like, there was a celebration of the Dublin Millennium. Dublin was exactly 1,000 years old in 1988.
The greatest marketing stroke ever pulled in history. Can you imagine being on Dublin City Council at that stage? They said, we found evidence of a Viking settlement that goes back to approximately 980. Exactly 988, did you say? Brilliant.
1st of January.
Start printing the 50 pence pieces there, Tony.
And to celebrate it, we're going to learn a song about the Red Light District.
But yeah, so we had a teacher in school who produced a small booklet of all the old Dublin songs from this 1,000-year period, most of which were written the previous 40, 50 years. but sure, look it.
So you were in school learning the lyrics.
Well, yeah. We
did you see the Duke of Gloucester, the dirty owl imposter? He took his mutt and lost her up the Furry Glen.
But there's a bit about him pulling up his trousers. We thought that was funny. He just taken a poo. You know, isn't that gas? Poo is funny. There's nothing funnier than poo when you're like eight or 9 years old. And like, we just thought that was just gas, you know? But then we didn't know, like, if you have a wingo, take her up to Ringo. We didn't, you know.
Didn't realize what a wingo was?
We didn't know what a wingo was.
No.
I mean,
I'm still not sure I do.
I found out since that it is a name for an old name for a tuppence. Yeah. Yeah. Sit to go to Ringo with that one.
Lots of layers going on there.
Yeah.
Sorry, was there a question up the front somewhere? Did I see somebody with their hand? No.
There's someone there going, please stop talking about this.
Why is that literally anyone in demand they ask us a question?
So we've heard of all of the sort of historical periods of Dublin that you'd like to tell stories of on net movies. What sort of a future Blade Runner, Doctor Whovian future story would you like to tell in Dublin?
Shrek.
I know that one.
We're going to remake Shrek.
Shrek. Yeah.
This is the doctor who...
The hotels have taken a sentience and are attacking the citizens.
The year is 2032.
Hotel Slayer.
If you stay standing in Dublin for more than 35 seconds, you become either a hotel or a podcast.
The hotels attack you with buffet breakfast with tiny orange juice portions.
There is still no metro.
Everyone in Dublin has a podcast. I still haven't been invited onto the Irish passport.
All in due time, don't worry. Yeah. You know, it's funny you mentioned that, actually, because our last live show, which was a few months ago now, that was our topic, actually. We talked about what you see for, well, not Dublin,
and
but
you
Ireland.
Weren't future listening. Ireland.
Yeah, there you go. You can find that on iTunes and all major podcast providers. Subscribe, like, and share to the Irish Passport podcast. One of our guests was Sarah Maria Griffin, who's a novelist. Maybe some of you have read some of her novels. She's an excellent writer.
She's incredible.
Yeah. She's absolutely brilliant. And she was a brilliant talker on that show. And she had this, one of her books, Spare and Found Parts, I think it's called, is that. It's Dublin in 100 years. And what's very interesting, I thought, was that Ireland is partitioned in that novel, but not north and south. It's from Dublin and the rest of the island, which I thought was a really interesting touch.
That's already happened.
So long as we can draw the partition at like Selbridge. Like there
just
are
the M50 right around. Like it's just
but basically there are bits of other counties that we want and will take.
No, it stops at the M50 and that's it.
It's just
fuck
the,
no.
The M50.
No. I live outside the M50. That's not happening.
No, Clondalkin hours. Sorry.
Shit.
There's another.
It belongs to Colchis now, so Patter, so you know.
Oh, great, yeah.
Will you get your nice flat cap there now? It's kind of cool.
That's Cork is your Colchi accent, like, and you're from Kerry. Like, your voice is your Colchi accent. Like.
There's another.
It's for dramatic effect.
There's another steampunk, cyberpunk, futuristic story, which we might be telling, maybe only set in the next 8 or 9 years, where maybe Colm Meaney, Brenda Fricker, Brendan Gleeson are trying to bring back the last young person back to Dublin who hasn't emigrated.
Oh man, this got fucking.
They call it 2009.
I'm sorry to end on a bad note, but it's just, we talk about hotels, we joke about hotels, we joke about, you know, things like that, but it's not great. I've been very happy to produce this podcast for a couple of years.
Are you emigrating?
No, I'm not emigrating.
Is this how you tell us? Like,
it's hard for me because at the moment there's a wonderful podcast scene happening, but it isn't entirely happening in Ireland. It's very sad for me to hear that some people who are making these shows can't come back here. It's terrible that Garagine has had to leave Ireland. And I hope this country gets its act together enough to bring you back home.
Aww.
Yeah, here, here. And on that beautiful bombshell, it's a slán uimsir.
It's a slán uimsir. Slán for me.
Slán for me.
And slán for me.
Slán for now.
Thank you very much, The Button Factory. Thank you, Dublin. Thank you, the Irish Passport.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you very much to Head Stuff for bringing Motherfucklore to the stage, to Kirsten Shield for the artwork you can see behind us here on the stage. Woo! Yeah. And once again to all of you for coming. Good night. Safe home.
Good night.
We'll see you.
Safe home.
This has been a production of the Headstuff Podcast Network.
We'll tone down the suggestions on narcotics to take from the audience.